We're going to just share a message today and then possibly another time on the subject of healing. And I trust it'll help us. But in order to be successful, and I share it that way, in order to be successful in anything that you endeavor in life, you need to get knowledge. You need to get some understanding of something, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're in a trade, whether you're in a professional, a profession, maybe you're an accountant, maybe you're a doctor, maybe you're an electrician, maybe you're a plumber, maybe, you know, whatever trade you're in, whatever profession you're in order for you to be successful at it, you need to get knowledge and an understanding of that in order to be successful. Otherwise, you know how some folks do, you know, they get something and they go, I don't need to read the instructions for that. I'll just work on them, put it together, and then you got all these extra parts left over. You know how some folks are. I'm not looking at anybody, but you know how that goes. You need to read the instructions. So you need to get some understanding and some knowledge. And so the same thing on the spiritual side, in order to be successful spiritually, you need to get some knowledge and understanding what? In the Word of God. So it's the same process. So the Word of God is God speaking to us. God speaks to us through how? His Word. And so God's Word reveals His will. It reveals His nature and it reveals His will in the Word of God. And faith, we know, comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So faith begins where what? The will of God is heard or known. So it's the same thing. If I don't know what your will is, how could I have faith in you? Same thing applies where God is concerned. If I'm going to have faith in God, I need to know what His will is. So I need to have an understanding of who is God like? What is He like? What is His will concerning healing? And so we'll jump into that the next time we're together, but we'll look at some scriptures today. But Hebrews 11:6 to me points out some things, and if we're going to receive anything from God, we need to be positioned correctly. You know, when you think about sports, you know, I guess because I like sports, if you're going to play football and you're the quarterback and you're going to run a play so everybody understands the play, they're going to run the play, and if that quarterback gets the ball and you don't run the play, you are what? Out of position. So that means you won't receive the ball. No different in baseball. Same thing. You know, what do people do all the time? They get up to the plate and they want to pop a ball where they're what? Out of position. So it's no different where we're concerned. You know, you could know the will of God, but if the devil gets you to fear or to worry, you can be what? Out of position to receive from God. So we need to know what God's I don't want to call it formula, but what does He say we must do in order to receive? That puts us in a position to receive from God. Everybody understand that? This is a simple way of sharing it, but Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible. Boy, I'll tell you, that's as direct as you can get. It is impossible to please God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then it goes on, for he that cometh to God must. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to share something here. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then, of course, in the King James, and it says, and what? It says, and that he's a rewarder. Well, you could put in there, you must believe that he's a rewarder. So when it says you must believe that he is, and you must believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, let me just say this. There are, you know, when you use the word must, there's a lot of things you should do, and then there's some things you must do. You know, you should exercise, but you must eat, right? You should clean your car, but you must put gas in it. You know, there's some things you should do, and then there's some things you must do. And this is saying here, where God is concerned, he that cometh unto God should, no, it said must believe that he is. So you must believe that he is, and you must believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So this is going to start giving you an idea of what God requires us to do to receive anything from him. If he's a rewarder, then that means he will heal if we believe he's the healer. So when I come to receive healing from him, I have to believe that he is the healer and he's a rewarder. He will heal me. So I have to believe that. Otherwise, what? I'm out of position. I'm not going to receive. So those are the kind of things that when, you know, people will come, and we've heard this so often, I have, if you are not in the right place, when I say the right place, if I'm not coming believing that he's the healer, and I'm not coming believing that he is going to heal me, then you're not in a position to receive. So when people come and ministers, or it could be a layperson yourself, and you say, I'm going to lay hands upon you and you shall be healed. And people will go, well, I sure hope so. Well, then you don't believe that he is a rewarder. You don't believe that he will heal you. You're hoping he will. That's not faith. Faith is what? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what? It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith expects something to happen because I believe. I believe in the word of God and I expect it to come to pass. So that means when whoever, whether it's a minister, whether it's a lay person, when they lay hands upon me and I come expecting to get healed, when they lay hands on me, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. Because I believe I receive healing when that happens. So I have to believe that he is the healer, and I have to believe that he will heal me when I pray. And this is where we're going here with this. So let's look at Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24, and again, this is one way. We're looking at receiving healing by faith through the application of what? The Word of God. Now, of course, we know there are the gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will operate and manifest. He can manifest himself in a setting and touch bodies through the operation of the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. And there's also, you can receive by faith through the Word of God. So Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, do what? Believe that you might have, no, it says, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So if you back up and you look at verse 22, it says, have faith, who? In God. This goes right back. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. He is the healer. So have faith in God. And then, of course, verse 23, it says, whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then verse 24, it goes on. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, when you believe, it says you believe, when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That be a perfect time. And again, remember, this is Jesus speaking here. And he's saying, you shall have them. So here, there's no qualifier, is there? Also, it would be, and I just bring this out here, this word desire, also, what things soever, really, if you look it up, it just means whatsoever. So whatsoever ye desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. Believe you've got it. When? When you pray. And it says, ye shall have it. Let me read this from the Passion Translation. It's in verse 24. It says, this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now listen to these other two translations. I think this is where I wanted to spend a little time, just a few minutes this morning, sharing this. This is the Moffat's translation. It says, believe you have got it, and you shall have it. Believe you've got it when you pray, and you shall have it. Now, some may say, well, I did that, and I'm not seeing anything. Maybe that's the problem. So here's another translation that adds some light to this. It's called the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. It says, be believing that you received them, and they shall be yours. Be believing that you've received them, and they shall be yours. Be believing. What does that mean? That's a continuous act. That isn't, well, I believed, I received, and then tomorrow, when the circumstances seemingly didn't change, you stop believing. So be believing that you've received them, and you shall have them. What does that mean? That means when I come to have hands laid on me, I came believing to receive. And when hands were laid upon me, and there wasn't an instant change, I continue to believe. I be believing. And here's something also to keep in mind. This word desire, you know, that's why I say a lot of times the reason I stop and highlight this is because the way they used words at that time, the way the translators translated this. The word desire is not like what how you use the word desire today. This word desire means to require or demand. So we're not demanding of God, but let me ask a question. If you have a contract, do you require or demand something of a contract that you have entered into? Each one of us do. If you've entered into a contract or a covenant, or you have a contract, you know, simple thing, some of us may have a contract concerning your home. Some of you may have insurance contracts. Well, if you got into an accident, you wouldn't go, "Well, I sure desire that they fix it." No. You would get on the phone and you would require them to help you because what? You have a contract. You're not demanding of them. You don't understand what I mean. But you demand that I get some attention. You pick up the phone, I have an accident, I need your help. That's requiring or demanding something not of them, but based on the contract that I have or the covenant that I have. That's no different where the Word of God is concerned. We have a contract or a covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus. So when it says, "What things soever ye desire," those things that what it means is those things that I require or demand of the covenant that I have. I'm not demanding of God. I'm requiring something of what? That contract, the covenant that I have in Christ. And so this word require is ask or demand. And that same Greek word is used in two different places that you may be familiar with. John 14 and verse 13 and John 15 and verse 16. John 14 and 13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name." That word ask is the same word desire that we just read. So it means whatever you demand in my name. That's what Jesus said. Use my name. So it says, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In John 15, 16, it says, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask," there it is again, "whatsoever ye shall demand," whatsoever you shall require of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So this is the same thing here. Back to Mark 11, 24. "Whatsoever things ye desire," it says, "believe when you pray." And what else? It says, "When you pray, believe that you receive them." So what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to come expecting and believing and be believing that you receive when you pray. And in this case, we're talking about healing. Now, I want to look at this account of the woman with the issue of blood because it highlights the same principles here. And I want to look at it in Luke and or Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But let's look at Luke first, Luke 8:43 and verses 43 through 48. And then we'll go to Matthew. But Luke chapter 8. And verse 43, starting in verse 43. And it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years," so she had this issue of blood 12 years, "which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any," so the physicians couldn't help her. She spent all her money, and she didn't get any better. It says, "came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." And verse 45, "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. Same account, Matthew chapter 9, and verses starting in verse 20. And this is Matthew's account. And it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Does that sound like be believing? That's what it sounds like to me. So she came believing before she touched. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now let's look at Mark chapter 5. This account is a little more expanded. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25 through 34. And starting in verse 25, it says, and a certain woman with an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing what bettered, but rather grew worse. So she'd spent all her money, she'd been going to these doctors for 12 years, and it says she wasn't any better, but she actually was getting worse. And it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, I want you to think about that, for she said. So this, you can go back and look at, she began to say what she believed. She heard of something that Jesus said, caused faith to come, and she said something. What did she say? She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This is her faith speaking. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This is faith speaking. So when God reveals something to you, and again, we're talking about healing, but whatever it is, when you see something in the Word of God that's for you, then you say, I do what? I take that, and I believe that the Word of God is doing what? Working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. That's no different than what this woman did here. You know, when you hear the Word of God, and what? And it touches your heart, and you say, I believe that when I come to a meeting and that minister lays hands on me, it's no different. Yeah, that was Jesus. But now the Spirit of God is present today in us. Now here, in Jesus' time, it was Jesus physically laying hands upon the sick, but who was operating through him? Who was operating through him? He was what? Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed him with what? The Holy Spirit, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So God's Spirit was upon him without measure, and he was operating by the Holy Spirit and doing what? Laying hands upon the sick. That's no different today. God is in you by his Spirit, and he anoints you by his Spirit to lay hands upon the sick. It's no different today. So if somebody is laying hands upon the sick, you can say, I believe that when that person lay hands upon me, I believe that I shall be made whole. That's what this woman did. And that's no different today. And what happened? She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt something. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched me? See, so isn't this interesting? She knew something happened, and so did Jesus. Jesus knew something happened. He said, something just flowed out of me. And she knew something flowed into her, touched her body. So he felt something. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude doing what? Thronging thee. That word thronging just means pressed in. He was pressed in. Everybody was pressed in around him. Thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What made her whole? Her faith. What? Her faith in God. She believed that he is, and he was a rewarder. Same application. She believed that coming to Jesus, she would be healed. And what happened? It says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And be whole of thy plague. Now listen to verse 28. I'm going to read it again in the King James. It says, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, or if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now listen to what the Amplified says and the Passion Translation, because it's actually the more correct translation of this. Mark 5:28 in the Amplified, it says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. She kept saying it. On her way, she's going. She kept saying, as she was going to Jesus, she kept saying, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. She kept saying that. The Passion Translation, it says, for she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. It's another way of saying it. She kept saying, be believing. Kept saying. So I just share that if there's anything in your body, I don't care what it is, keep saying what the Word of God says. Believe that he is the healer and that he shall reward you with healing. And there's nothing impossible. That which is impossible for man is possible with God. And so I encourage us to feed upon the Word of God, meditate upon healing scriptures, and believe that He shall do just exactly what He said. And be believing. Be believing that it's what? Working in me. The Word of God is working in me, affecting and correcting the situation. It's life, Proverbs 4. My son, do what? Attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life and health to all your flesh. So that means if there's something, I don't care, the minutest thing in my body, it can be corrected through faith in God's word. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit because, and this is why I say, we could have contributed to something by our habits. He may say to you, get more rest. He may say, exercise. He may say, stop eating this. It may have contributed to it. May have. But be open to hear him and make the correction. Still keep saying. Because what does it do? It positions you by doing what? It positions you to be sensitive, to hear him, obey. When we obey, when we hear him and listen to him, then we're what? We're accepting his counsel. We're accepting his direction. Glory to God. So here's what did she do? What did the woman with the issue of blood do? She believed she would be healed. She came expecting to be healed. So this is where we have to be. We have to believe and come expecting to receive something. In this case, we're talking about healing. But when it says, what things soever ye desire or require, or demand, when you pray, believe that you receive it. Be believing. So whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's strength, could be wisdom. What does it say? In James, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, nothing wavering. That sounds like you're not be believing. Sounds like you're wavering. And it says, let not that man think he'll receive anything. Anything from God. So we need to, if it's wisdom, if it's counsel that we need, be believing that I received it when I prayed. And that means that I'm going to speak what I believe. I believe. And what else did she do? She came, she did something. So she not only came expecting, but she did something. She came to do what? Touch. That's what she said. If I may touch but his clothes, the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So she came and she did something. She moved in the direction where her answer was. So what did she do? Number one, she believed she would be healed. And then number two, she came and she touched. She did something. Faith is more than just believing. You've got to do something. And number three, she was conscious. She believed that she received something. In other words, she felt something. And also what you notice here, in this third point, she believed first and then she felt something after the fact. She believed first and then she felt the healing in her body. Amen. So we can see here that she kept saying to herself, this is what the Amplified says, she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. So one of the things that I just, you know, when we talk about a method or a formula, or you could say a method. What is the method? I must, what does it say? Without faith, it's impossible to receive anything or to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And we're talking here, he is the healer. He is the provider. And what? That he is a rewarder. He's the one that is the he will heal. So it you know, when we talk about Mark 11:24, he didn't promise results. See, I think this is something sometimes in church circles, and I would just share this because just from experience, when I sat with Pastor Sarah, we used to do a live call-in radio broadcast, and I would sit with her. She was the host on the air. I wasn't on the air, but I was there managing or controlling the audio and all of those connections and things. But people, and of course I could hear what the people were sharing and so forth. And sometimes I was there looking up scriptures for her. She would look at me and say, look up that scripture. And so I would look up scriptures for her while she would do that. And it got to the place I'd just look them up before she'd ask. And I'd have the Bible open ready for her for a particular scripture. And then, of course, we got to the place where we had electronic things and we could just look it up a lot quicker. But people would call all the time on the air believing that she was a minister of the gospel. And here was the proverbial thing. Would you just pray a prayer for me? Just pray a prayer. Well, what do you want to pray? Just pray. And I'm sure you've heard this before. Just pray. Well, this here is saying in Mark 11:24, if I'm going to pray with you, let's apply the principles in the Word of God. If somebody calls and prays and say, even ask you, just pray a prayer for me. Well, what does Matthew 18 say? Anybody know? No? You don't know? I'll read it to you. It says, I say unto you that if two of you shall do what? Agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. There's that word ask again. Same as desire. It means to require, demand. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So if you're going to call and ask me to pray for you, let's look at Mark 11:24 again. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever or whatever, whatsoever ye ask or desire, when you pray, believe that you what? Receive it and you shall have it. So it doesn't say, well, if you just pray, everything will be fine. Doesn't say that. Jesus never said, if you just pray, you'll receive. Didn't say that. It also doesn't say, it doesn't promise results if we just desire it. It says you've got to ask, desire it, demand it, require it, and when you pray, what? Believe that you've got it. So if people are going to call and ask for prayer for something, and I heard it every week with Pastor Sarah, I got this thing going on in my body, just pray a prayer. You know, it's almost like you just give me a little Band-Aid and I feel good, but no results. If you believe that you receive when you pray and you be believing and we're in agreement and you ask the person, did you get it? Did you receive what we were praying for? And that's the tale, that's the teller. If anybody asks you to pray, pray with them. Ask them, what is it you want me to pray about? And then when you conclude with amen in Jesus' name, you ought to say to them, did you receive it, what we were praying for? If they say, well, I'm not sure, then you can say, well, then you won't. Because you need to be, that's not being cold, that's being scriptural. Because if they're not sure, they didn't come like the woman with the issue of blood, believing that they would receive when you pray. Everybody understand that? I hope you do, because this, if you get this principle down, it's like, you know, when you learn 2 plus 2, you know, I went on to advanced calculus and math and nuclear physics and all this other kind of stuff that I had to take in college, and calculus and everything else, and Laplace transforms and all this other kind of engineering math that I had to take. If you didn't operate it properly, you didn't get the results. And so it's the same thing here. If you don't follow the formula that God has laid out in his word, you will not get the results. That's not cold. That's what God is saying. His word is forever settled. So if we don't follow it properly, we won't get the results. So when we pray with people, they need to come, what? Expecting to receive when you pray, be believing that you've received it and you'll get it. And so when you tell people, okay, I'm going to pray, and did you get it? Well, if they waver, maybe you need to help them a little bit. Maybe you need to coach them. Maybe you need to share the word of God a little bit with them. And that's why often through the years, Brother Hagin would say, even Dr. Price, Fred Price, he would not pray with people instantly. He'd say, let's take time to share the word of God so that faith would be there. So when we pray or we lay hands on the sick, they're in a better position to be believing and not just be quick to pray with people. Because it becomes, for some people, just a religious habit that people just pray a prayer. And they don't get anything. And they get frustrated. And then they begin to think, well, the word doesn't work. Yes, it does. Every time. If we work it properly. Amen? Praise God. So let's keep that in mind. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, be believing that you've received it, and you shall have it. And it's a process. You know, let me just point something out. I'm finished with my message, but let me just take this moment with me. Indulge me here. Turn over to John chapter 2. Just want to show you something. John chapter 2. This is good teaching right here now. This isn't part of the message, but it can be. John chapter 2. We all know the story of the wedding at the Feast of Canaan, right? Jesus' first miracle, he did what? He turned the water into wine, right? And you can see that in John chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples did what? Believed on him. This was his first miracle. Okay? Now, let's go over to John chapter 4. And here, let's go. Let's go to well, starting in verse 43, actually verse 46 in John chapter 4, it says, so Jesus came again into where? Canaan of Galilee. So he's coming right back again. He's coming back into this town where he did what? He made the water wine. And it says, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So this is like the woman with the issue of blood. What is it said? When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man did what? He believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. He left his presence, and he started back to go home. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to what? Amend. It wasn't an instant healing. He began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now look at the next verse. What does it say? This is again the what? The second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So they call this healing, which wasn't instant, he began to amend. It was referred to as a what? A miracle. And this here, this account, if you look and go back, this was the first healing that Jesus did under his ministry. It was the second miracle that he performed, but it was the first account of a healing by Jesus in his earthly ministry, but it was referred to as a miracle. Well, let me ask this question. If you had cancer in your body and it began to amend, would they'd say, that was a miracle. Right. So, I just point out that sometimes we look at things and say, things that are instant in nature, we call, oh, that was a miracle. Well, no, here they're saying this man's boy, son, began to amend and get better from the point that Jesus spoke, and they referred to it as a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just thought you'd like to know that. Praise God. Amen. You know, the Word of God is accurate, and it's, I won't take the time now, but it's interesting. In Mark, you know, it's interesting, the Word of God. When you go to Mark 5, we're reading about this account. Why don't you turn over there for a minute? Mark chapter 5, and this is in the King James. And you know, we have where he was in the country of the Gadarenes, and he delivered that man who was, you know, full of demons. Said he's full of a legion of demons. But if you look at verse 19, and it's just interesting to see from the Word of God, you know, it Somebody could read this chapter and say, that seems contradictory. But here, in verse 19, it says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him." He's talking about the man who was delivered from the devils. And Jesus, now they're kicking him out of that country because he cast the devils into the pigs. And so they all went over the cliff. And so now they want to kick him out of the country. And this man's, Jesus is saying, so he said, when he was come into the ship, verse 18, and he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." So he's saying to him, go home and tell people. Tell them. Pronounce it. Tell them. Isn't that interesting? Now, here we see here, Jairus, right? He goes to raise the girl from the dead, right? Same chapter now. Jairus, the woman with the issue of blood is healed. He's on his way to Jairus' home. And then he eventually got there. He had to remove the people. They laughed him to scorn, right? When he said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And so they laughed him to scorn. He kicked them out of the house. He raises a girl from the dead. And what happens? He took the damsel, verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was at the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Now look at verse 43. He's now saying to Jairus, he says, and he charged them that no man should know it. Well, that seems contradictory in a way, doesn't it? He's telling them, don't tell anybody. And he said, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Isn't that interesting? But if you look, where did he come? He came into an area. If you look at where he is, look at Mark. Look at Mark chapter 8. Look at Mark chapter 8, and you'll get an idea why he told them, Jairus and all the men, not to say anything. Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Verse 22 through 26. And it says, he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Now watch this. This is why you got to look at the scripture. Sometimes you just read over it. It says, and he took the blind man by the hand, and what did he do? He led him out of the town. He led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now look at verse 26. And he sent him away to his house, saying, this is the man that just got healed. Neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town. He didn't tell him not to tell it. He told him not to tell it to anybody in the town. Isn't that interesting? Let's look at another scripture, and then I'll make a point. Let's look at Matthew 11. And you can see why Jesus made this point about Bethsaida. Let's look at Matthew 11 and look at verse 21. Or starting in verse 20. Matthew 11 and verse 20 says, "Then began he to do what? Upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they did what? They repented not." He did most of his mighty works in Capernaum, in that area. So what did he say? He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee," who? "Bethsaida." This is what we just got done reading in Mark 8. So he led that blind man out of the town. He wouldn't, because what? They weren't going to believe. They didn't believe. And he goes on and he said, "For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And then verse 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." So we can see here that when it talked about Jairus' daughter being healed, and he said, "Don't tell anybody." Why? Because they weren't going to believe it anyways. She was raised from the dead. They would have said, I don't believe that. And the same thing. When he got over here and he led the blind man out of the city, full of unbelief. And he couldn't do any mighty works there. The Spirit of God was probably grieved. So he led him out of that atmosphere of unbelief, got the blind man healed, and then said, "Don't go back into the town, nor tell anybody in the town." You know, there's sometimes you get in a setting where you're going to pray for somebody, and there's a lot of unbelief. And sometimes you have to, you know, could be and I say it this way, it could be in any setting, whether it's your job, whether it's your home, could be in a school setting, there can be a lot of unbelief. And God may say to you, "Say something," and then in some settings, he may say, "Don't say anything," because they ain't going to receive it. They won't receive it. Everybody understand the scripture is very accurate, is very clear. So this woman with the issue of blood came believing to receive something. She heard something. She was open. She said, "I'm going to get that." But yet here, Jesus is talking about Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, where most of the mighty works that he did, and then they just rebuffed it. They didn't receive. And so it affected them, and so it affected the people that were there. So we just have to be conscious of that. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, for enlightening us in your word. Thank you for stirring faith in our hearts. And Father, that which we see, that which we understand, we shall act upon, and we thank you that we shall receive, and we believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hope you got a little something, because I like teaching about faith, and whether it's teaching about healing or prosperity or wisdom, you can apply these principles. Believe what God has given us in a covenant of that we have, and do what? Believe to receive. Believe to receive. Amen.